Welcome to a podcast from Alive Church in Newark. We believe that the gospel changes lives, so we hope you're ready to hear from God, be challenged, and inspired. Here's our speaker for today.
So today is Rise and Build. And every week, every year, sorry, in Alive, we have two large offerings every year. The first one is called Make a Difference, and it's our missional offering where we give into the mission of the church internationally, nationally, and locally as well. And so we give into, as a church, we partner with Tear Fund into Ethiopia. And we partner with Battelle nationally, and that's drug and alcohol addiction rehabilitation, and some great work there. And then we run local mission in Newark as well through Butterflies and Toddlin and various other things. So that is our Make a Difference offering. And we also have our Rise and Build offering. And Rise and Build offering is where we invest into the practicalities and the physical sort of things that allow church to function, that allow us to build church. And I'm going to talk about Rise and Build a little bit later on. But first of all, I wanted to bring a word today that I really feel that God has for this body of people. And I hope you're ready. Hope you've come expectant this morning. Have you come expectant this morning? Yeah? Excellent. That's good to know. What I'm talking about this morning is this. The story continues. The story continues. I wonder if you've ever been reading a book or watched a film or TV series or whatever else, and you get really engrossed, don't you? Really engrossed in the story and the characters and the plot line and what's going on, and you're there with them. You laugh when they laugh, and then you cry when they cry. But you're on the journey, you're along for the ride, and then the series ends, or the book ends, or the film ends. And you're left thinking, oh, what do I do now? Even if it ends in a happy ending, you're still sort of left. This happens to me all the time. I get so involved with TV series, most notably with Lost. Remember Lost? Did anyone watch Lost? Yeah, weird island, weird smoke monster thing, weird people. The whole thing was actually pretty weird. But I got really invested in that storyline. I think it was 7 seasons, and when it finished, I was just like, oh, right, okay. Same thing with House, actually. House MD. You know House? Hugh Laurie? Who's watched that? Yeah? Not as many. House is so good. In fact, for me, House is actually still going on because I actually refused to watch the final season. Because I heard what had happened in the final season, and I didn't want to go there. So for me, Dr. House is still solving medical mysteries because I haven't watched the final season. But the story continues. A few times, somebody has asked me, what is my favourite story in the Bible? What's my favourite story in the Bible? I mean, it doesn't happen often. You know, don't get me wrong, it's not a daily thing. But it's happened a few times. What's my favourite story in the Bible? And to me, it's a bit of a weird question because the Bible really is a collection of moments of time and accounts, but really the Bible tells one story. The Bible tells one story, and it's the story of the time God decided he wanted to be in relationship with his creation. And so he chased after his creation, and he constantly chased after while his creation, that's us, constantly ran away. That is the story of the Bible. And it's made up of lots of moments, lots of accounts, and we can draw lines where we think, you know, one ends and the next one starts. But really, it's one story. And so perhaps a better question would be, well, okay, what's your favourite part of the story? Better question. But really, the story of the Bible, the story of God chasing after his creation and wanting relationship with them and wanting his people to live a life of abundance, that story doesn't end in the final chapters of Revelation. That story continues all the way to now. And so what's my favourite part of the story? It's the bit that we're in right now. The bit where I get to see healings, where I get to see miracles, where I get to see the transformation of lives through the power of God, where I get to see the love and grace of God impact a generation, where I get to be part of a church that, above all, seek first the kingdom of God. That build one another up, that encourage one another, that love one another. And that's my favorite part of the story. Now, I realize that that's perhaps a little bit of a stretch from what is your favorite story in the Bible. What I've actually done there is answered a different question. But I think it was a better question. So what's my favorite story in the Bible? I'll answer that one too. My favorite story in the Bible is the story of Joshua. It's the story of Joshua, and so if you have your Bibles with you, I'd encourage you to turn to Joshua. We're mainly in Joshua 6 and 7, actually. If you could turn there, if I can turn there as well, that'll really help us all. Joshua, the story of Joshua. So to set some context, what's happening at this time in history, the Israelites, these are the people of God. They've been kept in slavery in Egypt for about 300 years or so, and that wasn't good for them. But then a chap was born, a chap called Moses. He was born, and he was actually, he was an Israelite, but he was actually raised Egyptian, sort of one of the Egyptians. But eventually in his story, he said, no, I am an Israelite. Those are my people. Those are the people I'm going to be with. And so he asked Pharaoh, will you set my people free? Does anyone know that song? When Moses was in Egypt's land. This is my worship team audition. Let my people go. I like to think that he sang it. Doesn't say he didn't. So Moses asked Pharaoh to set his people free. Moses is like, nah, God sends some plagues. Moses like, okay. And then the Israelites leave Egypt and they're on their way. And they're following Moses into the wilderness. And they're on their way to the promised land because God had promised this people a land of their own a few generations beforehand. And so Moses is now leading these people into the promised land. And the Israelites, actually, it doesn't go well for them. They become unfaithful to God and lots of things go wrong. Ultimately, they end up walking around the wilderness for 40 years. They never get to the promised land. And then Moses dies. Yeah. But the story continues. Can everyone say the story continues? You'll notice that's going to be a theme. The story continues, and the story continues with Joshua. And I know I said we were in Joshua 6 and 7, and we are mainly, but we're actually starting in Joshua 1. I'll read. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you might be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So I like to think of these as like stories within stories. I know I've made an argument for them not really being stories, but really they are stories within the one big story of the Bible. And so we had Moses' story, and there's much, much more to that, by the way, more than the 30 seconds I gave it. But there's Moses' story that came to an end, and then there's Joshua's story, and that one's now started, but all one story. And so God has spoken to Joshua and said, listen, I'm going to be with you wherever you go. You're going to be successful wherever you go. Everywhere you put your foot, that land will be yours. It's all going to be smooth, okay? But be strong and courageous. Be strong and courageous. And to me, that's a little bit disconcerting. It's like, well, you know, why do I need to be strong and courageous if the Lord my God is with me wherever I go, if the creator of heaven and earth, the Alpha and the Omega, is basically like my bodyguard sort of thing, with me wherever I go. He's already said that I'm going to be successful. So why do I need to be strong and courageous? It kind of seems a little bit redundant. Do you know what I mean? Bit redundant, but God does not have in mind for Joshua a life of coasting and a life of just sort of going with the flow. God has in mind for Joshua greater things than that. And for these things, Joshua will need to be strong and courageous. Strong, in fact, and very courageous. You know, sometimes I think, sometimes we can sort of fall into the trap of thinking, well, if God is for us, who can be against us? Life should be a piece of cake. After all, he works all things out for the good of those that love him, right? So there you go. Easy. Everything's going to be all right in the end. And if it's not all right, it's not the end. That's John Lennon, not the Bible. but sometimes we can sort of, get to thinking these things, and that's true. He does work out all things for the good of those that love him, but we don't know when that will be. It could be today, tomorrow, next year, or it could be when all things come to fulfillment in heaven. And Jesus said, in this life you will have many troubles. And so it's almost a promise that things might not necessarily go as smoothly as we'd like. God has intentions for us. God has intentions for you as individuals, for me as an individual, for this church. And for these intentions, we need to be strong and very courageous. God knows something about Joshua's story that Joshua doesn't know yet. God knows what Joshua's going to go through, and he knows that Joshua will need to be strong and very courageous, but God hasn't told him the specifics at this moment of time. You know, what... When I was a younger sort of Christian, I thought it'd be great if God could just give me a map of my life. You know, what's it going to look like? Where am I going to go? What am I going to do? Can you just tell me everything now? That'd be great. That'd be awesome. And he didn't. he didn't do that. And I believe that if he had, I think I would not have started out on the journey. Because there are situations and circumstances that we've been through that if I'd have known about them at the start, I'd just probably been like, that sounds far too much of a faff. Far too much of a faff. Because at the time that I asked God for a map, I wasn't ready to see the map. I wasn't ready to see where God was going to take me. And I believe it's the same for Joshua. If Joshua had been told at this time what was going to happen, it'd have been like, no, thank you. And so God doesn't show us a map. God doesn't show us a map. So anyway, Joshua approaches the promised land. The promised land, the first city of the promised land is a city called Jericho. A city called Jericho, and Joshua sent some spies ahead of him to go sort of scope out the land and find out if it's good land, if it's going to all be okay. The spies came back and they were like, it's all good, let's go for it. And at this time, they arrive at the city. And then we're in Joshua 6, 1 to 3. No, 1 to 2. 1 to 2. It says this. Now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went in and no one came out. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands along with its king and fighting men. At this moment of time, Joshua and his army haven't engaged in a battle. They haven't even tried. They haven't done anything at this time. They're sort of stood, camped, if you like, outside the walls of Jericho. And they're looking at the walls of Jericho and the tall walls. And the Bible says that they are barred because the people on the other side of the walls are expecting the Israelites to come. And God's sort of saying, there you go. I've delivered it into your hands. Now that seems quite odd. Because in actuality, the city of Jericho at that moment of time had not been delivered into Joshua's hands. They were stood outside still and there were still the barricades there. And so I think Joshua would sort of be well within his rights at this point to say, you haven't though, have you, at this time? And it's interesting that that where God speaks, when God speaks of something, he doesn't speak out of our present reality. See, we observe things in a linear timeline out of a present reality and what we observe around us. But when God speaks out of a truer truth. See, we see an uncompleted work, whereas God speaks a completed and final work. See, when we see that we're failing in a marriage or in a relationship or something else, God speaks, but you're an overcomer. When we see that we've failed and that we're spiraling into sin once again and it's all going horribly wrong, God says, you're more than conquerors. When we see that the world seems to be against us on a particular day or in a season and everything's going horrifically wrong, God says, yeah, but I have overcome the world. And when we just feel so hopeless and in despair and like that we, you know, nothing is going well for us and everything is going wrong, and God says, it is finished. And so God speaks out of this place of a more finalized, a more true word. And so when what God speaks disagrees with what we see, we then have a choice in that moment of time to believe what the world tells us and we see, or believe what God speaks. And when we believe what God speaks, that is called faith. That is called faith. And so Joshua had to walk into the victory that was already waiting for him. God had already won it. And he instructs Joshua to go and take the city, not by strength, but by faith. Not by strength, but by faith. Joshua 6:3 says this, March around the city once with all the armed men. Do this for 6 days. Do this for 6 days. God has made a promise at this point, a promise of a promised land, and he's given Joshua a plan to see it come into action. And so Joshua sets off around the walls on a military procession, and I like to think that there were drums involved. And so Joshua sets around, going around the walls of Jericho. And he's off on this way, and this is a procession, this is an army that is led by God. God has instructed the Israelites to have the Ark of the Covenant, that's the dwelling place of God, front and center, at the front of the procession, because this is an army for God, and it's an army led by God. And so the Israelites are following God around these walls. And then I was questioning, what's the significance of walking? Where does the walking come into things? Is it perhaps that the walking is somehow important? Does God need Joshua to walk? Perhaps the walking is maybe, I don't know, somehow loosening the foundations of the wall, and then the wall is going to come down by itself maybe. And then I thought, well, what about the guys on the inside of the wall? What are they thinking at this time? How weird is that? They're ready for battle and the Israelites are walking around. They're just seeing them out the window. What are these guys doing? That's just weird. I don't get that. Why are they walking around the walls? Why aren't they coming to try and fight us? I don't get it. I don't get it. This is weird. I mean, this is awkward now, isn't it? For us in this room, I'm walking around you guys. This is weird. Yeah? You guys are like, I wish you'd just get back on the stage. That's what we've got it for. But I think God told Joshua to walk around the walls of Jericho so that God could show Joshua that this battle is not fought by you. This battle is not fought by anything you're going to do or by your strength. This battle is fought and is won by me. Now, are you with me? It's not won by your faith. It's not won by your strength. It is won by your faith. And so six times the army walk around the walls of Jericho. High walls. I wonder if you've ever faced a situation in your life when where you're looking at high walls, walls that don't seem like they can come down, walls that are surrounding a promised land, and you know what's on the other side of the walls, but you can't see a way how the walls are going to come down. That to you is just impossible. Well, it's not by your strength that those walls are going to come down. It's by your faith and it's by your obedience, because God is going to bring the walls down. And so six times, and then again on the seventh day. And then the Bible says this. In Joshua 6:20. When the trumpets sounded, the army shouted. And at the sound of the trumpet, when the men gave a loud shout, the walls collapsed. So everyone charged straight in. So now the Israelites are in the promised land, the first step of the promised land, and it's a victory that's been won, is one that they've been told about before they'd seen it, and then by faith and obedience, they saw it come about because of God and God's strength and God's might. And I love this as well. I actually love this because this actually speaks of trumpets and loud shouts of praise. And so I love the fact that the loud shouts of praise are what bring the walls down. It's when we shout loud in praise. And this is what I love about worship on a Sunday. See, I love worship in my car, you know, when I'm sort of by myself and I'm listening to Carrie Job and it's really quite, nice and reflective. And I like to think in that time and spend time by myself, just me and God in those moments. But I love coming to church on a Sunday when we lift up a shout of praise, when we make a loud noise, because it's by loud shouts of praise that walls come down. It's in the Bible. And so I love worship on a Sunday. That is a side note. And so when I read about this story, I read about the Israelites going around the walls of Jericho and walking into the promised land, I think, hey, that's us. That's us. That's us in Alive Newark. Because we walk into promised land. We see many victories. When I think of the short story so far of Alive Newark, 4 years, and I see what we've seen God do in this time. When I think of the lives that I, before my eyes, have seen transformed. People have come from darkness into light, and we have been able to see that. It's by God's might, it's by God's strength, it's God's victory, but we've been a part of it. We've been a part of it, and I love that so much. God so evidently has his hand over this church, and we see many victories, and I love it. But the story doesn't end there. The story... The next city to take as part of the promised land is a city called Ai. It's a city called Ai. And so the Israelites start to draw up plans to go and take Ai. But you see, in this time, the Israelites have become unfaithful. And during the time that the Israelites took the city of Jericho, they'd become unfaithful in that time. They'd stolen devoted things of silver and gold that God had told them to leave well alone. And some of them had stolen some of these devoted things, and they'd sort of become arrogant. And so when they went to take the city of Ai, they drew up their plans. They once again sent spies out to go and see the city, just like they had with Jericho. And the spies returned again, and the spies said, yeah, man, this is going to be so easy. this is going to be so easy. We only need to send like 2,000 or 3,000 people. We doesn't need all of us for this. It's easy. Because the Israelites had become arrogant by this point, and they'd forgotten. And so so they sent out the army. They went to attack this city of Ai, and they were defeated. Humiliatingly so, in fact, they were defeated. And so they sort of limped away from Ai, defeated, because they'd forgotten the one piece of information that God had shown them the first time round. This battle does not belong to you. This battle belongs to me. You will not win this battle by strength and by might, but by faith and by obedience. And the Israelites had forgotten this, and they thought that it was all in their own strength, which is weird, really, because in Jericho, they'd just walked around a wall. And so how were they not able to see that that was very clearly God at work? But clearly, they'd forgotten that. And so they'd gone into Ai by themselves. God was not leading that army. God was not leading that army. They'd forgotten that their victory at Jericho was won by worship, not by warriors. They'd taken their eyes off God. They'd forgotten that when we seek first the kingdom of God, all these things will be added to us. And they sought after themselves, and they prioritized themselves. When we take our eyes off God, when we take our eyes off Jesus, and we start to try and do things in our own strength. And when we start to do things in our own strength, the results that we see will be in our own strength. And sometimes that's fine. And don't get me wrong, success is possible apart from God. I'm not preaching that. But significant things happening in your life, significant victories happening in your life, I don't believe are possible without God. Walls only come down when God is involved. You can't bring walls down. And so so Joshua at this moment of time, he couldn't bring down the walls, he couldn't defeat this army. And so we read in Joshua 7:6. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell face down into the ground before the ark of the Lord, remaining there until evening. The elders of Israel did the same and sprinkled dust on their heads. So in this time, Joshua is experiencing a severe defeat. And he's just come out of Jericho. He's just been on top of the world. He's just been as high as he can go, experiencing this amazing victory of God. And now he's experienced this epic defeat, and he's ready to go. He's absolutely out of there. Joshua 7:7. Joshua said, "Alas, sovereign Lord, why did you ever bring this people across the Jordan to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us? If only we had been content to stay on the other side of the Jordan." He's ready to go. Joshua's over, yeah? He's ready just to sit down. He didn't want to do it anymore. He didn't want to do it anymore, and he's experiencing these thoughts. God, why? You said you were going to be there the whole time. You said, wherever I set my foot, I will claim that land. You said that I will be successful wherever I go. These are the things you said to me. You made promises to me, and now they've failed. And I think I know, church, some of the things that are going on in Joshua's head, because I've been in similar situations, and I'm pretty sure everyone in this room has as well, if we're honest. Similar situations, and these thoughts in our head, anger, despair, abandonment. What is going on in this place? Where is God in this? But you know, I think there's another thought that's going on in the back of Joshua's head at this time. Be strong and very courageous. Be strong and very courageous. Those words that at the start seemed almost redundant, Those words that at the start seemed like they didn't really mean much. Now, suddenly in this moment is when we see the significance of those words. See, I find that when I'm in the battle, if I'm leaving the battle to God, and if I'm just walking around the walls in faith and obedience like he's asked me to do, I find that that doesn't actually take that much strength and courage. But I find that between the battles, I find that when I take my eyes off Jesus, I find that when things in my life start going wrong or my life, the world around me starts telling me that I'm defeated, that God has abandoned me, that is when I need to be strong and very courageous. And so God says to Joshua, the Lord said to Joshua, stand up. What are you doing on your face? It actually says that. It actually says that. Joshua 7:10, stand up. What are you doing on your face? And so Joshua and God then have this conversation and some things happen and the Israelites, Joshua comes back into alignment with God, resubmits to God, re-acknowledges God, acknowledges that the battle belongs to God. They sort out the issue with the devoted things, you know, the things of silver and gold that were stolen that I told you about. They sorted that issue out and they realigned to God. And then God led them into battle in Ai, and they saw a victory. They saw the victory that they were after, the victory that had already been won, not by them, but by God in their obedience and faith. God's plans and purposes come about to amazing victory. How awesome is that? You know, I don't know if you know this, but Alive Newark has faced over its short history some challenges, some real challenges. And these challenges, you know, there are other churches in the past that have sadly split or closed because after going through less than what this church has been through. And yet this church remains, and this church is healthy, and this church is strong. Why is that? Is that because of the leadership here? Is that because of the leadership from Alive Central? Is it because of anything to do with us? No, other than the fact that we have our eyes fixed firmly on Jesus. That is the only place to fix our eyes firmly on Jesus, because it's not by any of our own strength that we can make anything happen of significance. This is a church that recognizes that the battle belongs to the Lord. This is a church that walks into the promises that have been made. And despite experiencing situations where the battle appears to be lost, this is a church that is strong and very courageous. And that's why I love this church. I love this church. This is a church that sees the victory. This is a church where the story continues. And so why am I saying all this now and today? Because today is Rise and Build Sunday, and it's where we take up an offering, a faith offering. And so why am I saying these things today? Surely it would have been perhaps better if I'd have spoken from a part in the Bible where the people of God all came together and financed a new temple, or refurbishing something, or building an ark. I don't know. There's plenty of stories in the Bible that speak about those kind of things. But I think it's really important that this church understands that we are not contributing to stuff, but that we are continuing a story. That is the most important thing about today. We are continuing a story, the story of how God is using Alive Newark to take ground in Newark and turn it into promised land. We are part of that story, and that story continues. You know, I used to think when I was younger, before I'd actually read the Bible, I used to think that the story of the Israelites going into the Promised Land sort of all happened at once. You know, I used to think that as soon as the Israelites came out of Egypt, there was effectively this big field open that was already ready, and God sort of opened the gate and said, "In you go, all in one go." And it wasn't until I actually read the Bible and I read and understood the stories that I found out that that's not how it happened at all. I couldn't be further from the truth. The walk into the Promised Land was years and years of battle, of faith, of obedience, of following God. That is how the Promised Land came about, not overnight, but over time. And we in Newark have walked into many victories as part of our journey into our Promised Land. And I used to think that it would happen like that. It doesn't happen like that. It happens over time. And last year we took a step into that. We took a step and we took new ground, sort of physically speaking, if you like, when we came to this building. And we gave an offering that contributed to coming into this building, and that was a step on our journey. And today we're going to do the same thing again. We're going to do the same thing again. You know, I actually think it's scary sometimes when I think about the church that I believe God is calling us to be. The reason I think it's scary is because the land that I believe God wants us to occupy is going to involve fighting some battles. And the victories that we see will be absolutely incredible. And they already have been. And as we've been saying earlier on in the service, we should be so grateful and thankful for all the works that we've seen God do and everything that he's allowed us to be a part of in his plans and purposes. But the stuff that's coming is more. The victories are more and the battles are real. And sometimes when I share some of my heart for where I think God is taking us as a church, and when I start to talk that out to some people, it can often be met with sort of dismissiveness. Is that a word? We'll use it. Dismissal. There you go. Better word. It's often met with dismissal because where I believe that God is taking us is really quite big. But did you know, statistically speaking, the average size of the church, of a church in the UK is 84 people. And in a small market town like Newark, that's significantly less than that. And so we already surpass 84 people. And so statistically speaking, we have pretty much reached where we're going to go. Yeah? Wait for it. I said statistically speaking. Statistically speaking, you know, one could say, well, 84, that's good. That's good. We are average. But I don't believe that God is the God of average. My God, the God that I believe in, is not a God of average. He's not a God of statistics. He's a God of doing unlikely things in unlikely places like Newark through unlikely people like us to see unlikely things come about. And that is part of our story, and that is what we're giving into today. So I'd like to share with you, if I can, what our vision offering, what our faith offering is today. Our faith offering in Newark is £20,000. That's the total. That is what we are believing for today. And where's that going to go? What are we going to do? What do we see for the next year of Alive, Newark? Well, there are three main areas that we're going to be investing into as a church, as a body of people. The first one is our children's ministry. We want to buy for the children's ministry a new laptop. Our kids team have faithfully been using their own equipment to provide videos and content and whatnot for the kids ministry thus far, and I believe that it's time that we now as a church stand up and say thank you for that, thank you for your generosity, but now that's something we're going to do. And so as a church, we're going to stand up and we're going to say no, our kids ministry is key. We need to invest in our kids. and we need to invest in our kids' ministry and our kids' ministry team. And so we stand as a church and say, no, we're gonna do that for you now. We also need to invest in an internet connection somehow. Still working out how. I've got an idea. But we need to work out getting an internet connection into the kids' room, because they watch a lot of they watch videos off the YouTubes and with worship songs, not just random things. It's all about Jesus still. So we need a way to get an internet connection to there, because once again, tethering off our kids' ministry team phones is not a solution that we want to see, because we want to invest there. The second area is our welcome and hospitality. We want to make sure that we are giving the best welcome we can. We do a really good job on that as it is, but we want to do a better job. We want to do a better job. We want our cafe area to be nicer and homelier and cozier and really welcoming to people that have been here since the beginning, but also for the person that's walking in for the first time on Sunday. And so we want to invest in that area, tables, chairs, various coziness things, and the connect area as well. We just want to really up the ante on all of that area. And then the third area is our main hall infrastructure. When we moved to Magnus last year, we did that so that we could be more accessible to more people. We wanted to be accessible to younger families, and we wanted to be part of and integrated into a community. And at Magnus, we are integrated into a community. I don't know if you know this, but this isn't just building hire. We have a really, really good relationship with the Magnus team, with the head teacher. And our relationship with the school continues to grow, and we have prayer meetings with them, and we do assemblies with them, and we want to see that grow even more. But this is more than just building. This is relationship, and this is community. And so, when we moved to Magnus, there were some things that we had to do. We had to buy a drum kit because we didn't have one. And we had to buy some other bits as well. And one of the things that we took with us from the previous venue were these speakers. And these speakers are great, and they've lasted us for 4 years. That one, could not have planned that better. That one's literally falling apart. we brought these speakers with us, and these speakers are great, and they've served us amazingly well for the past 4 years. But these speakers were designed; they were actually handmade, and they were designed to be stood in a single space forever and left and not touched. And we every week have been carting them about and doing our best to protect them. But the reality is that they haven't fared so well, because that's not what they were designed to do in the first place. And so now they're seeing lots of signs of wear and tear. And a few times on a Sunday, we have had to have the backs off and sort of be fiddling around with the wiring in the back, because there's been something that's gone wrong. And so at this time, we want to invest into a new PA system. And the reason for that is, firstly, because this one is soon to be no more, but secondly, because we get to use this school, and we have a relationship with the school, and they bless us so much as a school. We get to use this building. We can use it any night of the week. We can use the minibuses. We can use the room 96, which is where the band do their rehearsal. Magnus School bless this church. And so as a church, we want to bless Magnus School. Because wherever this church goes, it should be a blessing. That's as individuals, when we go out of this place on a Sunday, we take a blessing with us. But also as a church, we want to be a blessing wherever we are. And so right now we are here. And so we want to be a blessing to Magnus. And so we don't just want to replace this speaker system like for like. What we actually want to do is install some speakers into this room, hang them from the ceiling here like this and like this. And so Magnus can use this PA system as well, because it's something that they've asked us for. Can we use use your stuff? Your stuff is so much better than our stuff. Can we use it? And we're like, not really. So what we want to do is we want to bless Magnus in this area. We want to install a new PA system. And in so doing, it will also help us with our setup on a Sunday. Setup has been 7 o'clock every Sunday morning for the past 52 weeks. And that is fine because that's what we enjoy doing for the sake of the gospel. But it'd be great if we could shave some time off that. And so again, just another way Magnus have started to bless us is they actually let us leave our stage in now. We used to have to move this every week and they let us leave it in now. How amazing is that? This has saved us half an hour every Sunday morning. And we want to save even more time so we can honor our setup team, so we can honor our worship team even more by having an installed PA system so we can shave even more time off that as well as protect our equipment. How does that sound? Yeah? So that is where we're going in 2020, £20,000. It's a big number because we have big faith and we believe in a big God and we are continuing a story. That is the message of today. We are continuing a story. And so I think it would be great if we could spend some time now as individuals or as families prayerfully considering how we want to invest into this faith offering this morning. What is God saying to us as individuals or as a family about how we are going to invest into this offering to continue this story of this church doing amazing things, seeing amazing things that God is doing?
That's all from us today. Thanks for listening. We pray you have a great day.